Please be seated. Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, selections from chapters 11 and 12. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary in your souls or lose heart. These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding. And would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How in the world are we supposed to know what to do right now? Most days I feel like I'm living in a maelstrom of violence and chaos and outrage. How are we to live faithfully right now? When ICE is kidnapping our neighbors, when trans people's right to exist in public is up for debate, when breaking news about a political shooting is interrupted with breaking news of a school shooting, when the president defies the law of the land and seems to elicit barely a sneeze from Congress or the courts, when the people of Gaza face starvation and the war in Ukraine might be expanding into Poland, it is just too much. All the while, I'm trying to figure out how to get my toddler to take more deep breaths and hit a little less, how to do the dishes and keep the house somewhat clean, how to help at the neighborhood cookout, and still somehow have a second to talk to my wife about how her heart is. All the while, the troubles keep coming. Half a dozen HBCUs shut down due to violent threats, a stabbing at Madison Park High School. National Guard is headed to Memphis. The mind can only spin. I want to follow Christ. I do. I want to live so that the love that emanated from Jesus emanates from me too. And these days, I am often stumped on how to do so, how to spend my time and energy, what choices to make, how to be effective at being a stick in the spokes of a culture that worships death, how to give all that I can to bend us back toward love. We know that many of you are feeling the same way. And so for September and October, our sermon series is called Meeting the Moment. Each week, we'll explore various spiritual disciplines and practices that we need to meet this moment faithfully. You can read more about that on the website or in the insert in your bulletin. One thing that I know that I need is wisdom. Wisdom bigger than my own, something more wise than reactionary fury, something more strategic than a carefully worded online rant, something sturdy, something that could hold me up and direct my path, something that would tell me when to act and when to rest, something worth teaching my son, something solid enough and trustworthy enough that he might teach his own child. I need wisdom. Lucky for us, the Bible actually has a lot to say about wisdom. There's a whole section of the Hebrew Bible called the Wisdom Writings. The book of Proverbs is one of those books. The Hebrew word chokmah means more than just thinking. It's a word that connotes practical knowledge, like skill or applied knowledge. And the goal of the book of Proverbs is to offer practical skills for living well. Wisdom is different from law or prophecy. It is not from the mouth of God to our ears. Wisdom is a distinctly human thing. It's the accumulated insight of God's people over generations. The thesis of the book of Proverbs is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word fear here is not about terror, but it's a kind of awe-filled reverence before God, whose greatness makes clear our own smallness. The fear of the Lord is about right-sizedness, that we are not God, and thus we should move with humility, listening for God's leading and hemming ourselves close to God's law. The section of Proverbs that Justin read from today is part of a speech from a father to his son. It's more of a plea. It's a plea from a father to a son who wants for his child to live in the world with wisdom so that he might remain whole in a world that breaks so many of us apart. And so he pleads. My child, this world is full of so many teachers, so many paths. Each day will overwhelm you with its decisions, this one from that one, good from evil. And some days it will not be so clear. Some days you will claw at wisdom's door and beg for clarity. On those days, my child, do not forget my teaching. Amidst the clanging cymbals of imperial leaders, amidst the smooth claws of deceitful teachers, do not forget my teaching. So many smooth and quick talkers will try to show you the way, point you in their direction, serve their goals. As they whisper into your ear, do not forget. Do not forget that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverence for God. Reverence for creation and for all who bear God's image. This is the beginning of all wisdom. This is the truth that can direct your path. The parent pleads again in verse 2, let your heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. For your long days and your long years, keep my commandments. An abundant welfare will find you. This word, abundant welfare, is the Hebrew word shalom. It means peace, but it means something more than peace. It means completeness or soundness, wholeness. Stay close to my teachings and you will be whole. Other teachers might gain you power or influence, wealth or might, but they will splinter your soul to get you there. Do not forget my teachings, because what I want for you is wholeness. Wholeness that comes only from following the law of God, which is simply this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We need this old wisdom today, this wisdom from the ancient ones, whispering into our hearts not to forget their wisdom. Because this is not the first time people have faced down hard-hearted people hungry for power. This is not the first time people have fought for the soul of a nation. This is not the first time that people have felt lost, like perhaps there's no hope. We need the wisdom of our ancestors to see us through, to remind us to cling to the law of God, which is to say that love should always have the final word in our lives. We find wisdom in the ancient teachings passed down to us hand to hand from those who learned it the hard way. And we gain wisdom from our children, from babies like Annabelle baptized today, from bigger children too. They have to teach us not just TikTok dances and new slang, but deep truth. Truth about how God moves in their lives. Truth about what really matters and what doesn't. Our children have to teach us the truth about what it's like to have been in active shooter training since they were too young to know addition or geography. They know so much. They teach us that it's not enough to know what's right, we have to act on it. Their lives depend on it. Our babies have so much to teach us. We need these fresh from heaven, sparkly-eyed babies to teach us, to show us that every baby, every single one, Annabelle just baptized now, Bree baptized earlier today, babies born across this great city in the NICU of BMC and the home births in Brighton, babies whose parents fear immigration orders so they've stopped speaking Spanish, even though they know that means that their kids won't learn their own native tongue. Babies in Gaza with no access to formula, their moms too malnourished to breastfeed. Every baby, every single one of them, with their sparkling eyes, their hair still shining with the dew of heaven, they show us. They show us so clearly that divine spark that is placed at the heart of every single human being. Before we can do anything, anything at all, not even hold our own heads up, we are loved. Before we can earn or prove anything, we are deemed worthy, held in God's unending embrace. And if that was true of each of us once, then it's true always. That if God has spoken the word beloved over every baby, every single one, then there it remains. No matter what we do or what is done to us, no matter what names this world puts on us, no matter what great failings we might stumble our way through, no matter what crumbles in our own lives or in the institutions we put our trust in, one thing stands forever. The name beloved that God whispers over us again and again. If that is true of every baby, and it is, then that lays the groundwork for ethical living, for wisdom. There is not a person you meet who is not beloved of God. If you've ever stared into a baby's eyes and found the infinite there, then you've seen it. This something of the divine in each of us that needs our nurture and our care in order to keep shining through. The ancient ones, they teach us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And these new ones, these babies among us, they teach us that it's not enough to know what is right. We have to do what is right. Our children demand this of us. Wisdom is not only about what we know, it's about what we do. And so we need both. The wisdom of our ancestors showing us the way, and the wisdom of our children, demanding that we walk in that way. May the wisdom that we seek find us, and may we have the courage to follow. Amen.